All that being said, we're gathered here for worship this morning. If you'd all please stand. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, our dear Christ enters into our hearts by his Spirit as we start lighting candles on the Advent wreath. Each of them has a different meaning. The first one represents hope.
Even though we love our families, our hope is in them. Even though we love our church, our hope is in it.
Today, our dear Christ enters into our minds and mouths as we proclaim in word and song that our hope is in Jesus alone.
In him we have true and real hope.
Please remain standing as we sing our opening hymn. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven,
whose sins are covered.
Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord counts not against him.
And in whose spirit is no deceit.
I acknowledge my sin to you.
And you do not cover up my iniquity.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. King Jesus,
we confess that we so often give you lip service with our tongues, yet deny you with our thoughts, words, and actions. We are not placed you first in every area of our lives, nor have we considered all others as better than ourselves. Hear us as we take this moment to confess our sins, especially those sins that are weighing.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her iniquity is pardoned. In his tender mercy, God has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. Therefore, upon this, your confession, I announce the grace of God to you. In his stead and by his command, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh God, we prepare our hearts for this Advent season, for the coming of your Son, who was born into the family tree that began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, continued through Abraham, and then to King David. Help us to see that Jesus is the fulfillment of your promise to save your people and make us all a part of your family through his birth, life, death, and resurrection. We are your own in Jesus, and we are grateful.
Amen.
Please be seated for our time to listen. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son, coming from your own body, will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Thus far, our Old Testament reading. Our epistle lesson for this morning comes from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Thus far, our epistle reading. Out of joy and reverence for Jesus and his word, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron, Hezron, the father of Ram, Ram, the father of Amminadab, Amminadab, the father of Nashon, Nashon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eliad. Eliad, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. Matan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. Thus far, our gospel reading. We profess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Congregation, may be seated. I'd like the kids to come up for just a moment. Are you guys good? You awake? That was convincing. So, how many of you have a perfect family? Parents are noticing, I'm sure. So you don't have like a crazy uncle? No? Yeah. You don't have one of those, like, I don't know, weird parents? No. I know your guys' parents. Everyone has that weird uncle, right? In my wife's side of the family, I get to kind of be that guy, you know, and it's kind of fun. I get to pick out my nieces and nephews, and it's a lot harder the older they get, but still, our families are not perfect, right? You know, we all have those special people. We all have histories. We all have things that have happened in the past that we may not want to talk about, right? But, and we're going to talk about those kind of things in the sermon, okay? Pastor Ethan read off a long list of names, right? He did a really good job with it, too. I actually told him a couple weeks ago he had to do that. He was gonna get to do this, and he told me thanks. And it wasn't like a yay, thank you. It was a thanks, because those were a lot of hard names, and we're gonna talk about some of those names because some of those guys that he read off, they were not perfect either. They were not good people at all, and yet they're part of Jesus's family, right? And yet, Jesus still came to be a part of that family so that he could redeem his people. He comes and becomes a part of our family, right, through when we're baptized and through our faith, so that we can be a part of his family someday, right? So that's what the sermon is going to be about, is how Jesus comes to us. You know, and we talk about this a lot because we're in this new season of Advent, right? We're preparing for the coming of Jesus. What are we going to be celebrating in a few weeks?
No, Thanksgiving.
That was this last week.
Christmas,
right? We celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? And we look forward to that celebration. But we also know that Jesus is going to be coming again, right? And he's going to be coming again so that he can take those who believe in him to be with him, to be in his eternal family, and be living in his eternal paradise, okay? And so we're going to talk about that. Even though our families aren't perfect, Jesus comes to forgive. Okay? Can we say a prayer? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for coming to us and to our families, even though we don't deserve it and our families are not perfect. Help us to always follow you each and every day until you bring us home to eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right, congregation will join in singing part of our sermon hymn, Savior of the Nations Come. I invite you to please join me in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we gather this morning thanking you for this day and all the blessings that you so freely bestow upon us. Thank you for making us a part of your family so that we can receive these precious gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time that we have, open our hearts and minds by your Spirit. I pray that the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, my Redeemer. Amen. I think back for just a little bit to when you were a child. What did you cherish most about your family gatherings? As you aged, did you ever dig in deeper into your family tree? And if so, what did you find out? Are there certain persons, certain problems, or patterns that maybe surprised you, right? I ask this because at some point in this hustle and bustle of this season, some of us will go home, or the kids will come home, and we get to spend time in these family gatherings, right? Whether it's here or there, home often means that family and friends are getting together. Home is a place where we can come face to face with our delightful family trees. In fact, there might have been a point in your life where you stopped back and you questioned what kind of family tree do I have? Maybe you've even admitted to yourself that my family tree is a few branches short, right? The word crazy is a relative term for our family. I came across another one that says that maybe you think something like, I'm not stuck after all, I'm simply ancestrally challenged. Or maybe I'm tracing my family history so I know who I can blame for all of this craziness that goes on. And while I have never, you know, personally probed into my family tree, there are some stories out there of other people who have found out that their tree is full of all kinds of interesting things. The author of this sermon series tells the story of one of his friends who did dive into his family tree, and it revealed a big amount of shocks and surprises. Here's some of the things that his friend found out. There was cohabitation, a shotgun wedding, children and grandchildren out of wedlock, depression, rebellion against parents, amputations, years of incarceration, substance abuse, marital desertions, an affair, suicide, verbal and physical abuse, moonshining. That one could be interesting. But then he also follows moonshining up with a time in a mental institution. Obviously, this author's friend, he had this idealized family that my family tree is full of these wonderful people, God-fearing people, people who did wonderful things for their community. And then that met his real family, which didn't fit that mold. There's one word that he came up with that described his family tree, and that was dysfunction. Family dysfunction has traits and symptoms and problems and crises and behavioral patterns that are passed down from generation to generation. And maybe you've gone down that genealogy rabbit hole and you've come to a humble conclusion of, maybe I shouldn't have done this. But also, maybe a light bulb clicks on in your head and you can say, you know, this is why our family gatherings have this unwritten rule that you don't ask, you don't tell, you smile and nod and pretend that everything is great and you make it through. Our gospel reading this morning from Matthew starts the whole New Testament off with some interesting glimpses into the life of Jesus before he's born. Right? Matthew opens up with the genealogy, a glimpse of his family tree. And like the ending credits of a movie, we are really tempted to just want to skip over them and move on to the next great thing, like, I don't know, the good stuff of the birth of Jesus. But the thing is, Matthew's genealogy is far from just the simple regurgitation of ancient history or dry data. The genealogy that opens up the New Testament proclaims God's masterful providence over all salvation history, which reaches its climax and fulfillment in the person of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And as we peer into Jesus' genealogy, this isn't full of things that you might think are going to be there. You know, usually we think of Jesus, that everything is good, everything is right, neat, and salutary, right? That his family tree's got to be great. Matthew doesn't gloss over the dirty details. He doesn't leave out those embarrassing names. We're going to check out a few of these verses. Verse 2 says that Abraham was the father of Isaac. You've all heard the phrase, right, that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? That's Abraham and Isaac. Abraham lies about the identity of his wife Sarah twice, claiming that she is his sister. He does it once to Pharaoh in Egypt, and he does it later to he was much better at these names. He's just got out of Hebrew not that long ago. Abimelech, the king of Gerar, right? We'll just say the king of Gerar. Decades later, when Isaac would go and travels to the kingdom of Gerar, the men there ask him about his wife, Rebekah. And Isaac, like father, like son, said, she's my sister. Among the other names that are mentioned, verse 3, Judah, the father of Perez and Zahar, whose mother was Tamar. Tamar married Judah's oldest son, Ur. Ur did what was evil in the sight of God. And because of that, God decided to smite him. He took his life away from him. And in accordance with Jewish law, the you're supposed to give the next eldest son to her to be married. So Judah gives Tamar his second oldest son, Onan. Onan also does what is evil in the sight of God, so God smites him and takes his life. Judah, though, refuses to give his third oldest to Tamar. So like an episode out of a soap opera or an episode off of Jerry Springer, in Judah's shame, his guilt, his depression, he goes and he sleeps with a woman he thinks is a prostitute. The prostitute turns out to be his daughter-in-law, Tamar. As for their one-night stand, it resulted in twins, Perez and Zaar. And the genealogy keeps going. The genealogy progresses in verse 10. We are brought to Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Manasseh turns out to be, and it flat out says in 2 Kings, to be the absolute worst king ever to live in all of their history. He set up pagan places. He set up altars to Baal. He worshipped a host of heaven, and he burned his own sons as an offering to these gods. Manasseh used fortune telling. He used sorcery, witchcraft, wizards, and he would even place carved idols right smack dab in the middle of God's house. Some of these names, these are some of the lesser known stories, you know, that we don't cover very often. I don't think we usually bring up Tamar in Sunday school lessons, right? But some of the other ones that we maybe do recognize, Jacob, from Jacob and Esau. Jacob was known as a trickster. He was a deceiver. Rahab's harlotry. Rahab was the woman who lived inside of the wall of Jericho as Joshua and the people were crossing over into the promised land. We have David's immorality with the wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. Among a long list of other things, David was, we usually put him up there on this pedestal because of David and Goliath, because he wrote Psalm 23. He's got a long list of skeletons. We've got Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, yet he has a disloyal heart. Ahaz's idolatry, Hezekiah's pride. It doesn't take a whole lot of digging into this to see how the amount of sap that is in Jesus' family tree. There are a lot of sticky situations within this family tree. And so the question for us to consider maybe is this: why on earth would God enter this family? Why not start fresh? Right? He's God, he can do that. Why step into this kind of a story? And here's what I think is part of the answer. If Jesus was willing to enter that family tree, then there is hope for every one of ours as well. Jesus doesn't avoid humanity's mess. He steps right into it. Right? And here's the thing. Matthew doesn't start off his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus in order to bore us, in order to give us material for trivia night. Matthew starts here to proclaim to us that God, at precisely the right time in history, was grafting a completely new branch into humanity's fallen tree. New life begins with Jesus, who is called the Christ. Matthew, before we get into the birth of Jesus, wants us to feel the weight of that. He wants us to see that Christ entered a world that is full of real sin, full of real dysfunction, a world just like the one we live in right now. It's merely a few verses after this genealogy that Matthew tells the story that we remember, that we know, how God does this grafting. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph, who was all torn up because his fiancée Mary was pregnant with a child that wasn't his. And he was ready to divorce her quietly. But the angel comes to him and says, you know, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so instead of divorcing her quietly, I want you to take her, you are to take her as your wife. For she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name of Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. But Jesus didn't only enter into the broken family tree of humanity a couple thousand years ago. Today, this morning, as our theme says, our dear Christ enters in again. Not in a manger, not in a memory, but just as he promised. Christ enters in by his word. He enters in forgiveness, and especially in his supper. For the same Jesus whose family tree was full of sinners and scoundrels gives himself now to people with tangled branches of their own. It's here at this table that Jesus welcomes the one carrying shame, regret, generational baggage, old wounds, and family patterns they wish they could prune from their trees. Here, Jesus feeds the weary, the imperfect, the disjointed. Jesus feeds people like Abraham, like Tamar, like David, like you and me. And he gives us, and he gives to you his very body and blood, and he is doing more than just forgiving you of your sins. Grant, he is doing that for sure. That's what part of the whole meaning of the Lord's Supper is to forgive us of our sins. But he's doing more than that, is he's also reclaiming you again as part of his redeemed family tree. He is nourishing the new life that he planted in you in your baptism. He is reminding you that your story no longer ends with dysfunction and death, because you've been grafted in to his life, into his righteousness, into his future. Here today, our dear Christ enters in, into your present mess, into your family aches, into your fears about the season, your doubts, your longing for someone, longing for something whole, something healed. Jesus brings you into his family table, up to his family table and a part of his family tree, and he gives you a foretaste of that great banquet that's the coming, the new creation. So come today, not because your branch is strong or because it's straight, but because the tree of life himself invites you. I come because the one born from a broken family tree came to restore your family tree forever. Come because Christ enters in to make you his own. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I invite the ushers to come forward as we have the opportunity to worship God with our gifts of offering. As they come forward, if you have not done so yet, please take a moment, fill out the friendship pad, and pass it to your neighbor. And as we collect the offering this morning, we're going to sing the last four verses of our sermon hymn. And you'll note on the last verse of it, it'll say to please stand. So when we get to that last verse, please do that.
Holy God, as we bring our offerings today, we pray that Christ would enter in, into our giving, into our serving, and into our lives. Use these gifts to shine your light in dark places, to strengthen those in need, and draw more people into the hope of your kingdom. We pray through Jesus Christ, the coming Savior, and all God's people said. As we come before our Lord in prayer this morning, we continue to pray for all of those on the short-term prayer list found in our bulletin, on the long-term prayer list found in our newsletters, and we pray for all of our caregivers, our nation, its servicemen and women, and all of our law enforcement officers. And this week, too, we offer up prayers of sympathy for the family and friends of Alfred Mora. That's Wayne's father, Colin's grandfather, who passed away on Friday evening. We also offer up prayers of sympathy for the family and friends of Darlene Paulson. That's Heather Leip's grandmother, who passed away last week on Tuesday. And for the family of Stuart Kaiser, that is Heather Leip's uncle, who passed away this last week on Thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the family trees you have placed us in. Thank you for parents, for brothers and sisters, for aunts and uncles, cousins, nieces and nephews, grandparents and grandchildren. Help us to grow closer to you and one another through this season of Advent and Christmas. O Jesus Christ, who entered into our human family,
bless us and all.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for that family of faith that you have placed us in. Thank you for pastors, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders, council members and elders, altar guilds, acolytes and communion servers. Help us to grow in our faith in you and to deepen our love for one another as we serve you in our church and in our homes. O Jesus Christ, who entered into our human family,
bless us all.
Lord Jesus, be with people whose family trees are unknown or fractured in various ways. Ease their pain, work to bring unity where there is brokenness, and assure believers in you that they have a family tree of faith they can turn to if their family tree of human origin is not able to them. Help us to be family to them in any way we can, as brothers and sisters in Christ. O Jesus Christ, who entered into our human family,
bless us all we do as the family of God.
Lord Jesus, just as you have guided families in the past, guide us as families now to worship you and praise you for your goodness and to pass the faith on to generations to come that they may follow you too. Let your name be spoken and heard in the ever-circling years of time, until your return to glory, when your name will be shouted from the heavens and you will take us to be with the Father of us all forever. O Jesus Christ, who entered into our human family,
bless us all we do as the family of God.
Lord Jesus, in this season, when we ponder more dearly the relatives we have and the family members who have gone before us that are no longer with us, keep them in our hearts and minds. Let them be remembered and loved in special ways at this time of year. O Jesus Christ, who entered into our human family,
bless us all we do as the family of God.
Lord Jesus, be with those in our family tree who are sick or dying at home or in the hospital. We especially lift up those from our church family who are on our prayer lists. Let our love for them and our trust in you show forth and give them courage and strength through these difficult days. Bless them with the knowledge that they have a place in your family always. Be also with those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Alfred, Darlene, and Stuart. Comfort them with your peace that comes from the victorious resurrection of Jesus. Give them strength to meet the days ahead, knowing that in Christ's second advent, We will all live together again in your eternal paradise. O Jesus Christ, who entered into our human family,
bless us in all we do as a family in the
Lord. Lord Jesus, for these and all other things we ask, we give you thanks, trusting in your mercy to make your dwelling place in every dwelling place where your spirit rests. We pray all this through the prayer you have taught us and continue to teach us to boldly pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you all please stand for our closing prayer? Lord Jesus, you have fed us with your own body and blood, strengthening us in faith and reminding us that your story is now our story. As we leave this table, let your grace flow through us like branches connected to the living root. Help us bear your light into every place that you send us. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Receive the benediction of our Lord. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing prayer.